Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
The Bible says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, but it also says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And so for some of you in here, it is not something small. When God ever does anything for you, to keep it to yourself is wrong. You are not bragging. You are helping. You're encouraging. Hope is contagious. So people need to hear your specific story. There's things you have gone through that you sit there and times and go, feel, man, I'm kind of embarrassed about or I'm concerned about. No, no, no. It is exactly what someone else needs to hear, that I can go through that and survive, that I can go through that and God sees me, that there's life after a mistake, that it isn't just a smooth circle. Is this making sense? Okay, so I encourage you all to make sure that happens, okay? So I'm going to jump into this message today. I'm a wanderer, so you guys just walk with me, okay? I'm a little bit of a wanderer. But just to give you a little bit of a bit of my background, my very nature, to my core, I'm a coach. That's just who I am, like to the very core of me. So even though I'm speaking, I really like to coach. I like to coach people forward because that's all I know. Like my filter for life usually is through sport, okay? And some of you were talking, you know, some of you seem to be excited about football and some of you in here could care less. But but the bottom line is I'm still going to make it relevant to you. I promise, okay? I promise. But with saying that, it is football season. Okay, it is football season. We got some Seahawks fans in here, all right, which is good. Okay, is there any Jet fan in here? It usually gets pretty quiet. Oh, he got one. Come on, man, I feel you. And Bold too, because you raise your hand by yourself. Okay, are there any Packer fans in here? Okay, oh, and with a number 12 shirt on at the same time. I love it. Anybody in here not like the Packers? And you can be honest. Let me hear you, though. If you don't like the Packers, let me hear you. Okay. There we go. Okay, if you don't like the Packers, and especially today, right? Now, I can't say I really like the Packers because they cut me. So I'm always going to be a little bitter because they let me go. But real talk, Pete Carroll was my coach. So when I was in New York with the Jets, Pete ended up becoming the head coach of the Jets. So he was my coach while I was with the Jets. And that's why still to this day, I still stay pretty connected to the Seahawks. And so Pete does a really good job of keeping all of us involved and connected with what's going on. Now, I share you all this story for this reason. I'm going to talk about being a game changer today. Being a game changer, a person who can change the game. Right? Name of my company, it's the mindset I want to use. But I will also tell you this, one thing that's significant about being a game changer, very significant about being a game changer, you need to know how game-changing moments happen. Game-changing moments do not happen simply because I got my act together. Simply because, you know, I made it. No, game-changing moments happen in a moment. It just takes one moment to change your game. Does this make sense? It just takes a moment for your situation to shift, for something to interrupt and cause momentum to go the other direction. Now, anybody who's been involved in sports or just life, you know how you ever have these moments where it seems like momentum's going in the right direction and then something happens and you just feel, oh, I knew it was too good to be true. I mean, oh, I can't believe it's going this direction. I can't believe we were doing well. We finally got a little bit on top of our finances. And then something breaks in the house. We got a little bit on top of this situation. And then this now goes wrong. It's like when things start going right, something else got to go wrong. It just throws you off. What I want to talk about today, and be very practical, is flipping that. Too often we believe when something negative happens, it creates negative momentum. We got it backwards. Yep. That's not the case. Hopefully this makes practical sense and I make it practical. Too often we think we live a life of difficulty with occasional interruptions of good things. What we don't realize is we have it reversed. Really, we're supposed to live a life of faith with occasional interruptions of doubt. But what we do is we actually flip it. We use or live the majority of our lives in doubt with occasional interruptions of faith, which is when we come to church, which is when we finally have something to talk to, somebody to talk to on the side, versus a consistency of living a life of faith. Scripture tells us we are to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to make this practical here now, but this is important. I want you to understand what makes game changers different from the way the most people live. Most, even believers, those who are Christians, who are walking by faith, at least talk about walking by faith, do not live a whole lot different than the world, those who don't know Jesus. It's amazing how many people who are believers still function as if they don't have Almighty God on their team or working on their behalf. So this isn't really an issue of God not doing his job. It really comes down to the issue of many of us in this room are game changers, but might not know it. And so what I want to talk about to you, just give you a little bit here, is I want to give you just a couple things that will allow you to function more often like a game changer. You don't have to function all the time like a game changer. You just make enough game-changing moments to create game-changing momentum that then moves things in the right direction. Does this make sense? Okay, so the Seahawks are going to play a game today, and there's going to have, you know, there's going to be first downs, there's going to be turnovers, it's going to be everything, right? And everybody's going to think it was the big plays that won the game or lost the game. And I'm telling you right now, as a football coach, we all know this, but from a football standpoint, if your team's winning or losing depends on big plays, you're already in trouble. It's not miracles. You don't want to rely on miracles to be able to win a game. I want to also emphasize to you, in your life, you don't want to live from miracle to miracle. You don't have to live from miracle to miracle. There is a game-changing mindset you have to establish and get a hold of, and then practice day in and day out that'll give you the results that you want. Now, this is a discipline. Man, follow me. I'm talking about being a game-changer now. I remember even in my playing days, and I couldn't wait till game day, and I couldn't wait to get on the field, and I used to tell coaches all the time, man, I'm a game player. I'm not necessarily a practice player, but you turn on the lights, I'm ready. I can bring it. Once the lights come on, man, you can trust me. I get it done. And I remember I had a coach, he says, man, if you can't do it when nobody's looking, there's no way I'm going to trust you can do it when everybody's looking. He says, so what I got to see is what you do in private will give you the success that you want to see in public. And so many times we're so concerned with public victory that we don't understand that the real value is how you win privately. How you win when nobody's looking. Do you have peace when you're by yourself? Do you have, are you doing the little things that are leading you forward, such as before you call a friend with being all stressed out and worried, have you prayed about it yet? I know it's simple, it's practical, but have you prayed about it yet? Now, what we call those in football is everyday drills. Did you warm up properly? Did you get the muscles right? Right? Okay, in practice, did you get any time in your word? Many times, situations arise, and the Bible already has solutions and answers to it. But the problem is, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance what you need in those moments. The problem is, you don't have anything for the Holy Spirit to bring back into remembrance. Because there's nothing in there. Now, to make it practical and connected to football, I thought talent was enough. When I got to the NFL, man, I couldn't wait. I was like, hey, I got drafted. I was there. Man, I was talented. You know, I'm not far away from 50 now, so I'm rather getting older. But at the time, okay, I'm 6'3 and a half, almost 6'4. I'm 215 pounds. I can run a 4'4. I got a vertical that was ridiculous. All the measurables, you're like, he got it. And I had all this talent. And then I get on the field, and I may have a lot of talent, and I can jump, and I can do all that, and I can run around, and the coach was like, we don't want to play that talent. But you know why I was on the bench? And why I had a buddy named Terrence Mathis, who was 5'10", maybe 5'9", 165 pounds, why he was on the field and I was on the bench? Because I didn't know the playbook. Because I wouldn't take the time to actually run or know the play. So all that talent got diffused because ignorance, lack of knowledge, unaware, not realizing that all the talent can't make up for simple basic knowledge that was needed to be effective in the first place. And what I noticed is no matter how talented I was using a whole lot of talent trying to make up for mistakes that I shouldn't have made in the first place if I would have just spent time in my work, or more importantly, in that playbook. Does this make a little sense? Okay, so we got this down. So then, we recognize that to be a game changer, it's not enough just to be talented. We know to be a game changer, Jesus has done the work in you. If anybody in here has said yes to Jesus, being a game changer is in you. The power to be a game, it's already in you. Now, I got to tell you, just because it's in you doesn't mean it's always coming out of you. And the way it comes out of you, right, as basically like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, and also in Hebrews chapter 11, when he's talking about how we lay aside the weight that so easily besets us, the sin that gets in our way. It basically means, even though we got greatness in us, many times we're surrounded by weakness. So we got to go through a process of getting the weakness out of the way. But what we do is we spend so much time focused on the weakness that we don't allow the word and we don't pray over, or neither do we encourage each other enough speaking to the greatness that's in us. And so what we do is we keep reminding each other about how weak you are and how bad you are. Now, in church, we talk about the greatness and how much we're loved, but then the way we talk to each other is not in alignment with the way the word describes and tells us to talk to each other. Follow this here now. The only thing I should ever say to you, and I look at these beautiful baby girls and these powerful young men in here, and these, and the Bible tells me when I speak to you, when I talk to you, when I am to see the greatness in you and speak to that. The reason is, for me to say anything else about you, and I'm not the one who made you, I don't have a right. I can only speak to you according to the one who made you. And he says you are wonderfully and fearfully made. He says he loves you so much that there's no mistake that you have made, none, that has caused him to love you less. And there's no good thing you can do that can make him love you more. He just loves you. So this is an issue of him having a different picture of you. I need you all to hear this. This is about you having a better picture of yourself. So I can, the hardest thing is when I first got to the NFL, I'll tell you, here's the problem. I was in the NFL and I thought I could just be talented, right? But the real problem was, even though I was dressed up as a New York Jet, even though I was dressed up and looked the part, in my heart and in my mind, I was still a wide receiver at Central Washington University. And because I had not graduated, even though my body wasn't there, even though I posed really well, I mean, I looked the part, I walked around the part, I love walking around letting people know I'm a New York Jet, I'm a professional football player. But deep down inside, my belief system, my identity, did not align with where I was at. So in order to be a game changer, first of all, you need to know that's who you are. But you also need to know in a practical, what does that even mean? What do I do? How do I live there? So I'm going to give you just a couple scriptures. Is that okay? I'll give you a few scriptures that make it practical. And I'm going to come from Joshua chapter 1. And the reason I'm going to come from Joshua, I just want to make sure this is clear. The reason I'm going to come from Joshua is because where Joshua finds himself in Joshua chapter 1, he is transitioning, follow this now, like many of us do in our lives. He has lived along with those he's leading in a lifestyle of surviving. They've just been surviving in the wilderness. They've been in temporary situations. Now it's about time to actually graduate and live out what God's plan and destiny for their lives is. But before they can truly take hold of what's already theirs, I need you to hear that. There was a lot in what I just said. There was a preparation they had to get done for them to take hold of what already belonged to them. Too often we think because we don't have it, it must not be ours. Because I prayed for it and God, you haven't done it for me, it must mean I can't have it. It's not mine. No. Many times what it means is because you're still learning how to be faithful over a few things, he can't quite yet give you the many things. And so what we do is we spend so much time chasing stuff when we should spend more time preparing for the stuff. Because if I prepare for it, now when it shows up, I know what to do with it. But if he actually gave you every single thing that you're praying for right now, the real question is, are you ready for it? Now, I ended up getting drafted. I ended up getting to the league. And guess what happened? Okay? I sabotaged it. But I'm not the only one. It's no coincidence that almost 90% of all, especially NFL ball players, 3 years after they retire, after they're done, they're either broke, on substance abuse, or divorced, or all three. 90%. All the ones you're cheering for, the jerseys you're wearing of the guys, no matter how much, there is a 90%, almost technically 87% probability that 3 years after they're getting the league, their lives will be a mess. Now follow this here. I want you to hear this. Less than 0.5% of all college football players even make it to the league. So to get to the league is like winning the lottery. So I got less than 0.5% no matter what college they play for. All the Huskies right now, all those guys on that team, every year there might be two or three guys who make it. And that's a high number for a team that's a top five team. There's 200 just Division I, you know, top teams. Think about all those teams. And you're telling me less than 0.5% of those get there? Yet, coaches, leaders, we talk about being a game changer. I want you to follow us. I'm going to leave the context. We work with everything in us to get our kids equipped to have as much success as possible on the ball field. And if we do an effective job, here's what happened. They may be able to get a college scholarship and play in college. We're like, yeah, I did my job. Then when they get to college, even no matter how great they may be, 0.5% or 1%, but if they get to the league, we're jumping around. Yeah, they got to the league. And we're cheering that. And all we did was help them gain an 87% chance, probability, that their life is going to be jacked up after they get out of the league. I really want that to really resonate with everybody here. I am not minimizing or downplaying the NBA or the NFL. I know most of those guys. Every kid right now who's in the NBA right now from the area, Isaiah, Avery, I can go through all of them. These are all my boys. These are all my kids. I love them to death. But what I'm describing right now is real. So when God says, I need you to not chase things, when God says, I need you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added, when God says, hey, here's what you need to do first, he's saying it because you want to be a game changer. You want the game to change in your life. You want your finances to change. You want your friendships to change. You want your esteem to change. You want all this to change. I get it. But it changes when you first change, and the order matters. There's no way you can get there and not have what you need on the inside of here. Because if you do, it will get sabotaged. You can't handle it if the Holy Spirit isn't guiding you? Now, this is real talk. This is the kind of conversation people love celebrating pro athletes. I do all the time. I love it. But I will tell you, I usually get a little more excited when I talk about these cats after they retire. Finding out how they're doing now, how they used everything they learned on the ball field or in the classroom, whatever, and applied it to real life. So let me give you just a couple scriptures here. Joshua chapter 1. I'm just going to tell you, this is what God says to Joshua. I'm reading in New Living Translation. Okay, so God says, how should Joshua get prepared? And these are God's direct words to Joshua. I want you to personalize this. Starting in verse number 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. So the first thing is recognizing when God prepares you and he's going to bless you with what he has for you, here's what you need to keep in mind. And this is whether you're young or old in this room. It isn't just about you. It isn't just for you. It's for those who are also around you. And until you get that mindset, it may be what's hindering God giving you even more. Look, these are practical. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous, says the same thing again. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Here we go, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. The definition of that is, if you're going to be a game changer, a person who knows how to make plays, you're going to have to learn how to focus. When it says don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left, the reason it has to say that is because the only reason people don't accomplish their goals, don't fulfill the dreams and the visions and the plans that God gives them, is because of broken focus. It's amazing what we get done when we're locked on. But isn't it amazing how easy we get distracted? I mean, we get distracted so easy. Just think about this. You remember that promise you said you was going to do in 2017? You remember? You remember the goals you set? You remember what you said? This is what's going. This year's going to be different. Promise you. Okay. Now, there's nothing negative about what I'm saying. What I'm just saying is, this is the game the enemy plays. We worry about the devil with the big thing. I'm telling you, the enemy's greatest strength is just to distract us. Just to have us look this way and that way. That's when Pastor Eric up here said, man, when you start chasing, instead of just fix your eyes on the Lord, if you can fix your eyes, fix your mind. Come on, we all love the scripture. You know, we were men on eagles like wings. We were run and not get weary. What is it describing? It's describing us. Us who keeps our eyes locked onto the plan. Last point. How does this connect to football? When I was a wide receiver, I had this goal. This for the little ball players in this room too. I wanted to make plays so bad when I'd be on the field, guys. I'd be honest. Man, when I went from Central to the NFL, man, I was got on the field. I was like, I want to make so many plays. I want to do it right. I want to make plays. And that's what I said when I wasn't on the field. Then all of a sudden, I find myself on the field. I'll never forget my rookie year. And I'm a wide receiver. That means I catch the ball. That's at least my job. You guys see the size of my hands. That don't make no sense for me to drop it. But if I would have caught it, I might have been in the league a little longer. But I remember standing at the line of scrimmage. 80,000 fans, home fans. I'm in New York at the time, making all kinds of noise. And I'm standing at the line of scrimmage. And coach throws me in, and the quarterback's about to go, and he's calling the play. And this is what I'm saying to myself in my head. Don't drop the ball, man. Don't drop the ball. Don't, man, don't mess up, man. Don't strike, man. Man, don't mess up, man. Oh, don't mess up. Now, I can ask you a very practical question, but when you hear the word, don't drop the ball, what picture comes to mind? Dropping the ball. Fall is here. I am saying to myself, don't drop the ball. which is basically telling myself, because what's pictured is dropping the ball. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. The Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Follow this here. The Bible says that he did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind. Yet I am standing at the line of scrimmage speaking fear. I am speaking about what I want to avoid, not what I actually want. I am standing at the line of scrimmage. The play hasn't even happened yet. I'm dressed like the part. I look the part. I'm on the field. But instead of speaking with faith, instead of expecting faith, I'm sitting there going, don't mess up. Don't drop the ball, man. Don't drop the ball. Please, just don't drop the ball. Now, I'm using a football analogy. But let me ask you, how do you talk to you about you? When you're talking about your situation, do you sound like a game changer? Are you talking about the situation you're dealing with, right, and expecting them to turn around? Or do you sound like someone out there who has no connection to a God who already told you, if you read the book, that you win already? Are you functioning like somebody where the game has already been set? You already win. But here's the problem. If you don't think this way, you're already beat. And so I was standing at the line of scrimmage saying, don't drop the ball, don't drop the ball. But I never forget, there was this DB in the league, and everybody might be familiar with him. His name is Deion Sanders. Okay? They call him Prime Time. And they used to always, you know, we used to be amazed how confident he was. And I remember one time, I was like, what gives you confidence? He says, it is true that I know that I can stop you. I said, okay. He says, but you know what's even more important? I said, what's that? Is that you know that I can stop you. Because when you know I can stop you, you start to diminish your own talents and abilities. You already start playing at this level, so I don't even have to be great. Because even when there was times I should have got beat, but because the person I was going against didn't think they can beat me, they had me, just didn't know it. Times when if they would have just kept running, the ball would have went, they would have caught it. But you know why they slowed down? They slowed down because I stopped. So they assumed I stopped for a good reason. So next you know, they missed out on my opportunity. Was that right there for them? Is this making some sense? See, what happens is game changers, real game changers, they don't get concerned with who they're competing against. Ever. Because they're always locked on who's competing for them, who's in them already. They realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So right now, yes, I am praying, God, there are circumstances I want you to change. But I'll be honest. There's many times God's like, I've already equipped you. I've already put in you everything to change the situation you're dealing with right now. You think the answer is me doing something. I'm telling you the answer is be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Get into your word. Don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. And watch what I do in your life. Last story I give to you. So I talk about the importance of being a game changer. But what I'm really saying, I want everybody to grasp this. What you can make, when you see something change, when you see a game-changing play, understand that play is a byproduct of somebody's mindset. It follows somebody who in that moment is like, I know momentum's going this way, but I'm going to make a play and take it this way. Sports term. The reason I love Joshua and Caleb so much is because the two of them were game-changers. Follow this here. They were game changers because they were on a team, basically, a group of 12. Their team went out to look, to scan, to assess what God had already told the Israelites belonged to them. And when they got out there, 10 of their teammates were scared to death. Have you ever went to into a game, especially those who balled? Have you ever gone into a game and had to go in a game with some scared jokers playing with you? I mean, it's just warm-ups, and they're like, man, you see how big they are? Man, you see how good they are? Oh, man, we in trouble. And you're like, oh, man, I got to play with this. I mean, that's real talk. I'm telling you, fear is contagious. And so Joshua, that's what they were dealing with. Joshua came and went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you see the size of the grapes? Everything God said is true. Did you see this? Did you see what God has already done in our lives? Did you see all that? Come on, man, let's go take these jokers out. They got our stuff. They in our land. That's ours. Are you kidding? Let's go get it. And the other 10 is like, man, you crazy. They're giants. Them is giants. Them is big. They're going to take us out. They too big for us to take out. And Joshua 2 was like, oh, what? And it didn't stop there. Follow this here. This is how dangerous. I'm not talking about those who go along with it. I'm talking about game changers. Game changers think differently. Right? They're peculiar. They're strange. This is who we're called in the Bible. We're a strange. We're a peculiar people. Why? Because we think differently than the rest of the world. But not only did these 10 be afraid, guess what else they said? They started talking this way, like, we need to figure out how to get back to Egypt. Now, I really want you to grasp how significant this is. Listen to the words. How do we talk about our situations? They begin to reminisce about how good the past was. They started to talk as if where they came from was so much better than where they're at. Come on, y'all, let's get real with this. There are times we have the audacity to be in the middle of the problem and we will reflect back like the past where we came from was way better. If it was way better, you would have stayed there. There's a reason you were somewhere else now. Is this making sense? This is the kind of games the devil plays with us. And I was sitting there when the Israelites said, let's figure out how to get back to Egypt. Brother, do you know it was a miracle to get you across the Red Sea in the first place? Now, God got to do another miracle to take you back to bondage? There are times we literally need to call stupid, stupid. I'm just telling you, not that we're stupid, but the thinking is off. Man, quit talking like the way it used to be was a whole lot better. What God has in front of you is so much better than what you're walking behind. Paul said, forgetting those things that lie behind, pressing forward to what's in here. That's how game changers function. Here's the most beautiful part. Now, I want you guys to grasp it. Joshua and Caleb, this is where we're at now. Where God is like, I want you to not turn to the right and the left. I want you to be courageous. I want you to know, because I got you. But later on in the story, and I'll leave it here, I want you to realize, a game changer realizes that fear is expensive. Fear is expensive. When God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, he says, I love you. I got you covered. Don't be more afraid of what I have for you, that you keep going backwards and get comfortable in something that's so far beneath what I have for you. 40 years is the price that the Israelites paid for fear. A game-changing moment was missed because of fear. That's not even the most painful part, though. It was when Joshua's a better man than me. Can you imagine what Joshua and Caleb felt like when they sent spies again back in for the second time? And they spoke, I believe, with Rahab. And Rahab tells the spies, We have been afraid of y'all, all the kings in this land, all the people in the land. We're terrified because of the stories we heard about your God. Which means we wasted 40 years being afraid of people who were more afraid of us. That will not be your story. That will not be anybody's story in here. In Jesus' name, that is not your story. You're a game changer. You change momentum. You're not caught up on that. You're not dependent on that. You are a game changer. Your life changes today. Somebody right now in here, you've allowed the accumulation of a bunch of little things not gone right. And now start to believe that's just your life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Some things are just continuing on because you haven't interrupted it yet. Interrupt it. You're a game changer. Interrupt it. In Jesus' name, interrupt it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much. Lord, this is what you gave me today. Being a game changer, Lord, isn't just being inspired and fired up. It's being intentional. It is making a decision that enough is enough. Lord God, Jesus, you did not die on that cross for me and all of us to keep walking around like we've been victimized. Your word has already said that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that our daddy, that our big brother, that our Lord and Savior is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord God, I am prophetically speaking over every soul in this room that fear will no longer be part of the equation. Lord God, that you root out every negative thought, every painful experience, and you're going to flip it to be used for every one of our good. But Lord God, you also let us know it isn't just for us. The generational curse of fear is broken, and the generational blessing of faith is instituted. Room full of playmakers. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, please come up.